We've been talking a lot about the 12-step process in recent weeks, but last week we took a step off the path a little bit, and we took a look at the Celebrate Recovery. And this is a wonderful series. It's from the Saddleback Church out in California, but it's a tremendous a series of lessons using principles and the 12-step process and biblical references and what have you, but it really does work. Last week, we were talking about denial. This week, we're going to be talking about the word powerless. And what does that mean? And does powerless mean what you think it means? And we're going to see. I'm Ned Wicker, and this is Recovery Now. And we're going to flesh this out. We're going to be leaning rather hard on the Reverend Dr. Dan Geeding to give us some insight into all of this. And Dan, when you look at powerless, is powerless really powerless?
Is powerless really power? I'm going to say yes, and we're going to discover that, I think, in our discussions. And one of the things we were doing before the program, we were looking at powerless and what were some things that each of us might have felt when we're powerless. And Debbie, what were some things that you said that you got in touch with as far as when you feel powerless? What are some things that happened to you?
Well, I think I felt powerless when I was a child. Mm-hmm. You know, my family background is fairly dysfunctional, and there was a lot of dysfunction in my family. My parents were often gone and having a lot of struggles. And I think as a child, I really got in touch with the fact that I am truly powerless, and that allowed me to turn toward God, who I saw as all powerful. And I got a lot of comfort out of that. But I think a lot of people, when they think about powerless, it's very, very negative for them. Right. They don't want to go there.
Right. And one of the things that I think is a feeling, when a person really gets in touch with feeling powerless, it can be very fearful. It can be very fearful. Feelings of vulnerability, helplessness. And one of the things that when I would be sometimes doing a spirituality lecture and we would look at powerlessness, sometimes I would just ask people, just in your life experiences, just regular life, leaving addiction totally out of the picture, just getting a picture of powerlessness in our own lives, what is an experience maybe that they had that they felt totally powerless, not in control, but something else was controlling them? And one of the things that I got in touch with was the first time I went and saw a water slide. Had never been on one. I climbed to the top. And when I was there, they were giving instruction as how to go through it. They told me how to sit, how to fold my arms, warned me not to try to do anything, not try to save myself. I was going to be in a powerless state. When I slid down that slide, I knew what they were talking about, and I was fearful, vulnerable, and helpless. But what did I do? I go back, climb up the slide again, and I'm there, and the person looked at me and said, "You've been down before. We don't have to tell you anything." I said, "Oh, no, tell me everything again." I wanted as much control as possible that I would be safe because I was fearful, vulnerable, and helpless.
So many people don't like the idea of being out of control. And I can understand that. If you're following the wrong guy, you're going to be in trouble. But powerless, when we were talking about that, I was thinking in terms of empowerment. If I am powerless to do something, I can go to a source of power and tap into that. Isn't mine? Doesn't matter. I'm going to own it anyway. Mm-hmm. So as we talk about powerless, what is, you know, for you listening, what is it? What is your definition of powerless? What does it mean to you? We were talking last week about a couple of things. Principle number one: realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. And that relates directly to step one of the 12-step recovery process. We admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. So, but we talked about denial last time, but denial is a form of empowerment. If you look at it that way, I'm going to deny that I'm powerless, so I'm strong or whatever that happens. But once you get past that denial piece, now you're faced with powerless, and you can go in one of two directions. And one of them is, woe is me. The other one is, I'm going to seek that which is going to lead me further down the path.
And when we look at recovery and the 12 steps, one of the things is that, Debbie, you were talking about earlier was that, well, where is the solution if we do admit powerlessness? And what does that mean?
Right. Many people that I talk with that are addicted or are struggling with addiction are what I would call very black and white. So for them, as they look at the 12-step program, they're like, admitting I'm powerless? No. And that's it. I think they're just very black and white. It's either yes or no, up, down. And so powerless is negative. Therefore, I'm not going to do it.
And also, you know, when we look at it towards powerless and my life had become unmanageable, powerless over my addiction, that means that if I'm really admitting this, then I've really named the beast. You know, I have named the giant, and the giant is my addiction. But one of the things is that with that is that's why we call it a 12-step program and not a one step. If we only had the curtain of powerlessness and unmanageability, I wouldn't want to live there either. And that's why we do have the 12 steps. Out of Joe Herzanik's book, Why Not Just Quit, one of the quotes that we've talked about on the radio before was by Robert Louis Stevenson. And he said, sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences. And that banquet of consequences goes back to Ned, what you were just talking about, choices. Do I become victim? Pour me another drink? Or do we decide to move on to recovery? And whether a person wants to deny powerlessness and unmanageability, the denial does not remove the fact. The fact is there whether you accept it or not. People around you know it. Everybody knows it. And if a dog has a tail that wags, if something's wagging, it's a good chance it's the dog, you know, and your tail is wagging. But sooner or later, everyone sits down to the banquet of consequences. The consequences of living a life with addiction in control and wreaking havoc and eventually losing everything, or you can sit down to a banquet of the consequences of recovery and enjoy happiness, peace, contentment, all those fruits of the Spirit, really, that the Apostle Paul wrote and that we find in the Beatitudes and in the Gospels, but happiness, joyousness, and freedom. And it's dealing not just saying goodbye to the fluid or the chemical, which you do have all aspects of addiction. It's a perfect disease. But it's dealing with also the wholeness of the Spirit.
Getting back to the Celebrate Recovery, there's a wonderful little thing. They're spelling out the word powerless, and they call it putting a word to each letter in powerless, and they're calling these individual words serenity robbers. We talked about the idea of being powerless in terms of I'm a victim, woe is me, I'll take another drink. Powerless in terms of I will turn to that which is going to return me to wholeness and to a state of good health. And the P in powerless, they describe as pride. And I love the way they have it spelled out here. Ignorance plus power plus pride equals a deadly mixture. I do not have the information I need. I don't have the right mindset on things, and I am in trouble right off the bat. The O is only ifs. If only ifs in life keep us trapped in the fantasy land of rationalization. And in that denial piece, it's all rationalization. I'm going to convince myself of something that maybe I know isn't the truth. Only ifs, rationalization, that just fascinates me. The W, of course, is worry. Worrying is a form of not trusting God enough. I think that's an excellent piece. You know, that power greater than ourselves, God as we understood him, only I'm not going to trust it. And I see that, Dan, as being a killer right away. The E is escape. By living in denial, we may have escaped into a world of fantasy and unrealistic expectations of ourselves and others. Then, resentments. Ooh, that sets in. If I'm on that woe is me thing, that's where that resentment comes in. And I can lash out at the world and blame it for all of my problems or resentments. Act like an emotional cancer if they're allowed to fester and grow. Loneliness. That's an interesting thing. A lot of people talk about being lonely. What does it mean to be lonely? Well, I don't have anybody to talk to. If you don't have anybody to talk to, isn't that a choice? Don't I choose to be lonely? In recovery and in Christ, you never have to walk alone, it says in Celebrate Recovery. You know, you have a God that is, or God as you understand it, that God is willing to walk with you. Emptiness is the other E. You may know that empty feeling deep inside. The cold wind of hopelessness blows right in and right through it. And it's winter in Wisconsin now, and I know what that cold wind feels like. Selfishness. That's an S. Selfishness. We often pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, give me, give me, give me. What about me? What about forgiving somebody? I'm resentful because I want to be. I'm not going to forgive that other person. I'm going to hold on to this stuff. And then finally, the last S in the word powerless, separation. A lot of people, when we go through the 12 step, the introduction to the 12 step process, they get to step number 3, they seek God, they say, I don't want that. But they're always trying to find their own definition of something, and they're always separating themselves. And some people talk about finding God, only they're not really looking. Mm-hmm. Or God as they understand it, or God as I understand it, or you understand it, whatever it is, I don't want to find it.
In group, what was really interesting as we sometimes would go through our spirituality lecture and have gone through the 12 steps and really just looking at steps 1, 2, and 3. I can remember when we were doing lectures and we would go through the whole 12-step process of just introduction of step 1, of powerlessness, step 2, coming to believe, restored to sanity, step 3, a willingness to surrender. Well, at the end of a lecture, I would ask the group, well, if you don't understand this, something I think you will understand, as we've all read the 12 steps to begin with group, let's look at the 12 steps in reverse. This is a material I found. I do not know who wrote it, but most of the time, those that have been in treatment, they start to giggle among themselves. Not that the statements are so funny, but they can look at themselves and say, if that isn't an addict in the mirror. And I would like to just state those, and it goes along with what this whole thing was about step one. It says, step one was 12 steps in reverse. I stated that I could handle my liquor and was master of my fate. I firmly believed that I was entirely rational and sane in every respect. I made a decision to run my own life and be successful in all my undertakings. I made a searching and thorough inventory of my fellow man and found him lacking or her lacking. I admitted to no one, including God and myself, that there was anything wrong with me. Step six, I thought through alcohol to overcome my responsibilities and escape the realities of life. I got drunk to remove these shortcomings. I made a list of all persons who had harmed me, whether imaginary or real, and swore to get even. I got even whenever possible, except when to do so would further injure me. And I continued to find fault with the world and the people in it, and when I was right, I promptly admitted it. Sought through conniving and hypocrisy to improve myself materially at the expense of my fellow man as I misunderstood him, asking only for the means to get or stay drunk and escape the realities of life. And after having had a complete moral, financial, physical breakdown, I tried to drag those who were dear to me down to my level and to practice this reasoning in all my affairs. And as we could see the humor in it, we also saw the picture of the deadly effects to body, mind, and spirit that addiction plays. And I think that it goes into that whole thing of finding empowerment when we look at powerlessness.
The idea of powerlessness, and people think of, when they think of powerlessness, they also think of, you know, the idea of surrender, and that being negative, that being defeat. Surrender, Grant accepts the sword from Lee at Appomattox in the Civil War winding down, and Lee's army has been defeated. But in this, it is turning towards that which is going to bring you through the tunnel, that which is going to carry you and sustain you, that which is going to give you the power that you need. And getting back to that principle of stop playing God. And it resonates. People love that, 12 Steps in Reverse. I use that a lot. And I have them I said, can anybody imitate George Carlin? I can just hear George Carlin reading that. And one of the folks in the group said, well, you know, you'd have to eliminate all the dirty words.
And one other thing I'd like to say is that if you have a family member who is suffering with addiction and maybe has been in treatment and has kind of discarded 12-step, it could be that they discarded it because they couldn't get past step one. So try to be patient with them, but try to explain with them that maybe they have to get into treatment, get into 12-step, get into Alcoholics Anonymous, and just kind of go through step one, but get to step two, three, four, and don't look at it as a black and white. You're either yes or no. Try to go through the entire process with an open mind rather than shutting the door right when you're at step one. And I think the whole powerless aspect and denial aspect many times causes people to shut the door even before they start.
And growth is important. Growth is the goal. And for the alcoholic, we all have a tendency to be black and white. But for the alcoholic and the addict, many times all or nothing. And we have to see ourselves as growing in our recovery.
And the family members have to try to get the addict to begin to grow, even if it's little tiny little baby steps. You know, it's little tiny steps that may make the difference. But I also think by being in Al-Anon that you need to encourage those steps. I think commonly the family is so discouraged and there's been so many relapses and so many negative things that even when the little steps are actually occurring, they may miss them. And that's why it's important that the family member go into treatment as well so that they don't miss those little steps.
One of the things I run into a lot, and it always comes up with the powerlessness, and you get to that third step, and the G word comes up. And there's such a pushback, especially in today's society, a tremendous pushback to that. So you're when it comes to, you know, maybe I'm not denying that I have a problem. Maybe I'm recognizing that I am powerless. But still, I don't know if there's anything beyond my own willpower and beyond my own determination that's going to get me through this. And so I can see the stumbling blocks, even when you're playing with the powerlessness thing. If there's nothing beyond you, I can see where somebody's going to say, well, now that I've got to this point, so what? What's important, I think, is for people when you're going through this, to think in terms of your own reference and how you see a lot of it's not a religious exercise. It's a journey to wholeness. And the idea, Dan, you touched on it, is growth and how do people grow? I think they allow themselves to view themselves, and I'm allowing myself to experience what I really am.
Well, in Celebrate Recovery, it has like four things that you should do, which I think are really, really good advice. The first thing is to stop denying the pain. So another form of denial is denying the pain. If you're in pain, accept that you're in pain. Try to begin to face the pain. The second is to stop playing God. I think many, many people think, well, I can handle this. I pulled myself up. I can pull myself up again. I don't need anybody else. I don't want anybody else. And so if you can learn to stop playing God, that will get you on the road toward recovery. And then the other two things they think that you should do, they being Celebrate Recovery, which, by the way, you can get at Amazon.com, is to start admitting that you are powerless. Just start saying, I am powerless. How am I powerless? Start thinking about it. Start creating a list of how you're powerless, or as Dan said, when you were powerless. And then start admitting that your life has become unmanageable. And maybe begin to make a list in your own mind or on paper of where has it become specifically? Where has it become unmanageable? And what, if you did learn how to overcome your addiction, might you be able to overcome as a result of understanding the aspects of it that are unmanageable?
And I think that journey to understanding is really what helps people get out of themselves. It allows them to journey down the path and take things in. You come into this thing pretty set in your ways. I am denying this. I'm not powerless, yada, yada, yada. And then as you start throwing off all of that stuff and start realizing what is really in front of you, and then that's when you can tap in to the power source.
I think that those are so good. And, you know, as we talked about a way of doing this and to looking at that, and I think, Debbie, you hit on it, and in that Celebrate Recovery packet, one of the things that, just like an inventory, it said write out some things that how pride has stopped you from asking for and getting the help you need to overcome hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Just make a journal. And what about those if-onlys? And if only I had stopped years ago, if only this hadn't happened to me. Look at that. And then, again, going with all the things that Ned brought out, instead of worrying about the things that we cannot control, we need to focus on what God can do in our lives. And what are we worrying about? Why are we worrying about it? In what ways have we tried to escape past pain? Be specific and to see how past pain, and many times we've used our addiction to heal that pain.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this week. And we've been talking out of the Celebrate Recovery. We've been talking about powerless. Next week, we're going to get back to the 12-step process. We left off at step 7. Now we're going to go to steps 8 and 9. So I hope you can join us. And you can catch us, of course, on drug-addiction-support.org or at alcoholism-support.org. We're also on iTunes, and maybe even want to get on our list so we can just send it directly to you. However, we're happy to accommodate you. Remember, that powerless doesn't necessarily mean without power. It gives you an opportunity to access power, and we just want to invite you to access that almighty creator power of the universe who loves you dearly and wants to see you through it. This is Ned Wicker. You've been listening to Recovery Now. God bless.